Welcome to the Estate Professionals Mastermind Podcast, a podcast for estate professionals who earn more, work less, and make a huge difference in their communities. If you get value out of this free content, be sure to check out probatemastery.com, where you can get live classes, access to weekly coaching, and valuable courses. To learn more, visit probatemastery.com. Now let's jump into this week's content.
Welcome to Probate Mastery's Real Estate Coaching Call. I'm Bill Gross. We do this call every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, and everything in between or on either side. We get together every week, and the goal of this call is for people who are in or graduates of the Probate Mastery program to actually get into action, to actually put the principles into use. Now, I will say I see other coaching calls and other companies that sell services and data. And a lot of them are all about how to cold call exclusively, how to use their product exclusively, what they're selling. Here, really, this is meant to go a little deeper. I'm a real estate broker. I'm not a full-time coach. I am on the phone getting listings every day. I got one last week. I've got two hot leads I'm close to this week. I'm also building a team of probate agents around the country. If you're interested in that, I'd love to talk to you about that. But I'm actually in the hunt every day. I talk to people about probates, cases, documents, files. That's my primary business. And so I'm here to help you, but I'm also alongside you doing the same thing when I encourage you to build your business. Just kind of some housekeeping of where we are. This is the program for Probate Mastery, probatemastery.com. And I have a couple different paths on the website. There's some basics, free, start with the free, then get certified. And the people ask me all the time about the certification. Is it the best? Is this one better? In my experience, having paid for this and its predecessor, another company, this is the best education in that it's a certification, but I think it's also more than that. It's an education in the principles of probate real estate, which is really important to help you find the right strategy for you and help you to find the right way to your customers. And then additionally, those additional courses as well. So click on that. And then if you click on the Facebook group, that brings you to our Estate Professionals Mastermind, over 7,000 members. Love to have you continue the conversation here, ask questions here. Look for referrals for agents and attorneys across the country. I use this all the time. Love to see you participate. Separately, I host probateweekly.com. In fact, that's probably the wrong link. I probably should show you where you go. Probateweekly.com. Oh, that's not good. What happened there? Website down? Probateweekly.com. It's a Zoom call, or you can watch it live stream on YouTube or Facebook. And then I have a Facebook group as well, Probate Weekly, with 3,600 members. And come here as well as you can post your content on probate. I know, for example, I post mine, but I also encourage other agents too. Courtney's done a good job posting videos and probate-related content. And if you want more information on me, Linktree, my link, tr.ee/ is Bill Gross. So you can get various information and classes and stuff I do there. I'd love to have you join the conversation. This call is meant to be, we're working together, rolling up our sleeves, where victories are, losses, what you're working on, questions, what other people are doing, what are the best practices. So it's meant to be participative. I can tell you the more that you participate, the more money you make. The more you talk, the more you give, the more money you make. So I'm here to help you guys. It's not meant for me to pitch the product, but I will say that we do want to introduce for you, for your benefit. Do I see here on the call? Oh my, hold on a second. Do I see Luis? Luis?
Hi, Bill.
Hey, this is Lucas. Luis, how are you doing?
Good, yourself?
Fantastic. So I just want to introduce Luis Gutierrez, who is the client, what's the official term?
I'm the course advisor for Probate Mastery. I just joined about a month ago.
There you go. And so you'll be on these calls regularly or?
Yeah, I'll be here the first 10 minutes or so to see if anybody has any questions about enrolling in either Probate Mastery on Demand, Interactive, or also the EARN course, which is Earning Attorney Referrals Now course. Very interesting course. And I'll put in my information here. There's a link there to my calendar. You could book a call, a discovery call with me. And I could also, you could email me and I'll send you some information. Real quick, we do currently have a New Year's special going on. It's 20% off Probate Mastery on Demand or the Earn course. Regular price is $600. I believe this brings it down to, I think it's like $480, something like that, 20% off. And the interactive is a subscription. You could cancel at any time, and it's for folks who need more support, a more hands-on approach, and that's $59 a month, right?
Very good.
You
and
can
so
cancel at any time.
You join the calls here regularly at the beginning, and then do you also monitor the Facebook group?
I believe our support monitors Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think that's a good idea. I'll add that to my list.
Okay, well, what you do, somebody is. And so for those of you on the call, this is meant to be a community. We'd love to have you guys participate. And then again, if you're watching this on replay or you can't get your question in here, it's a great place is the Facebook group. And you can put sales questions there, service questions, but also you can put referrals or put your content, that kind of stuff there. Lou, welcome to the team. And again, Lou works for Probate Mastery. I'm just one of you guys, but and they used to do this call every week. And then when the founder of Probate Mastery wasn't able to, I stepped in as a substitute teacher. You guys aren't allowed to throw things at me or treat me like I'm a substitute. But really, I really need this myself in order to improve my game. I want to associate with the best. I want to work and improve my game every day. And as a result of that, do more business and help more people. So with that all said, who has a question or wants to share a victory or wants to review a loss and what we can do to learn from that? Feel free to raise your hand or put in the chat box and I'll call on you. Oh, come on. Ernie, there you go. Hand up, Ernie. What's going on, Ernie?
How do you get certified? This is my first call. And so I signed up for the course, and I think I've gotten about halfway through one lesson, and I apologize. But how do you get certified in it?
Yeah, so I mean, I think I can answer that as a past participant. At the end of the program, then you fill in the information, you get the certification at that time.
Thanks. Sorry.
I will say that, and I do answer this question, people all the time, should I get certified? I think you should learn. So make sure you're approaching this, Ernie, not just, and it's nice to have certification, and I use the certification in some of my marketing, but the real value is the knowledge. Knowledge is power. And so make sure that your approach is not just to rush through it to get the certification, but use this opportunity to learn. And I think the thing that Probate Mastery does such a good job of, where do you sell real estate, Ernie?
Virginia.
Okay, so I'm in California. We do have in fact, I want to say most of the other probate companies, probate coaching companies are based in California because we're a big market. And we actually have an official state of California Association of Realtor certification course. But I think it's good. I think anybody in California should take that too. But more important than the certification is the knowledge and information, the comfort of the using the proper terminology. So when you finally get an attorney, maybe the attorney is a past client or the attorney is a spouse that you sold the house to, and you're in dialogue, you use the proper terms, you're more comfortable asking questions to help you through your problems. To me, that's way more valuable than just certification, which is nice, but I really want to challenge everybody to learn more. And one of the things that, when I got married in 1986, so I guess that's now, it's 37 years, November, so my 38th year of marriage. One of the things the rabbi said at the time, and not that I pay attention to it and do it, but I remember what he said, which is the key to success in marriage, and I think like any relationship, isn't just finding the right partner, it's being the right partner. And I think what that means to us as salespeople, as real estate agents, is it's not finding the right petitioner, executor, administrator, or finding the right attorney. It's being the realtor that when you find that person, they want to work with. And so that's why I think the Probate Mastery course is not just a certification. I would just challenge you to make sure, pay attention, learn. What you don't know, dig deeper, supplement on your own, go to court, ask questions of attorneys. And I know that in the material, the teacher challenged me to go to court once, and that became a whole business as a result. So I would encourage you the same way to use this opportunity to learn and grow your business. Okay, thanks, Ernie.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Ernie, or anybody else? We're here to answer questions.
Hey, Bill, I got a question for you.
Okay, Chad.
Hey, so it's a two-part question. So I left my home state of California. I'm in a completely new market now, Tennessee. So the two-part question for that would be, if you were me and you woke up in a new state, number one, where would you start? What would be your first steps to try to generate new business? Number two, where do I go to learn the differences between the way that probate worked in California versus Tennessee?
And what part of California do you used to live in?
Southern California, San Diego area.
And what part of Tennessee are you in now?
I'm in East Tennessee.
So it's like a metro area, or is it more of a rural?
It's a mix. I'm out by Knoxville.
Okay. So I've literally had a discussion with my closest friends and business colleagues. He's actually in my downline of my business as well. Literally moved from Orange County, not too far from San Diego, South Orange County, to near Nashville. I don't remember the exact city. He was naming different metro areas. So I've had this exact question, and I thought through. And I'll say, I don't know enough about you. It'd be, you know, like I did with him. We had a whole hour coaching call. We went through his business in detail, and I know him very well. I know his business very well, and I don't know that we've even met before, had much more of a cursory conversation, if anything. But I would say two things. First is, if you had a business that was working in California, that's an asset. I think the biggest mistake we make is we underutilize the assets we have and we chase ones we want. And so I would think about, how can you utilize the information, the knowledge, the people, the Rolodex, the access that you have in California? Now, if it was that good, you wouldn't be asking me the question because you'd already be using it, right? So by almost by definition, in the agent that I'm referring to, he had a pretty good business that most people call would trade for. He wasn't happy with the business in terms of the volume. But as I said to him, okay, but that's already maybe half of your audience, what are your next stages? So I say, number one, I'd make sure I consolidate, keep, you know, whatever asset I have, names, addresses, phone numbers, emails, social media. Think about that as an asset and how to utilize it. Second, I would make sure I pick my niche that I wanted to be involved with in Tennessee. So if it was probate, that's one answer. In his case, it was, he really wants to work with investors. He likes selling people multiple properties. He likes working the numbers. I think he's a little burnt out on the sales part. So I said, well, the obvious answer is market investment property to those in Tennessee, do the things you need to do to build your business in Tennessee, but also market to people in California. Because I know that people like me who want to invest in real estate may not want to invest in Los Angeles or Southern California, and be thrilled to learn about good markets with good vendors and good team members. And if you're there and you know those people. And I said, what a great way to build content for him would be to interview property managers, the contractor, the insurance guy in his area, preview property and do that. So that's what I would do, is find that niche, and I would both use that same content to your new area and do things you need to do there, as well as integrate that with your current audience, because you're going to have clients who are going to do two things. One, invest in Tennessee. I know that's true. You know that's true, right? Number two, there'll be other people, presumably like you, that will want to move to Tennessee. In fact, I think other than Las Vegas, Tennessee is the second leading location of moves for Californians. So is that answer, you had a question regarding probate, but does that answer the question as far as general marketing in your business?
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, in terms of getting the general knowledge on how probate works in a specific county.
Yeah.
Any suggestion there?
Yeah. Go to the county courthouse. I'd block a day if it was me. And I don't know what county you're in. It doesn't really matter. There's a bunch of counties in Tennessee. It's the one that you're is closest to you. So it doesn't matter which one I would pick. I picked one closest to me, and I would get there at when the courthouse opens, and I would be on a reconnaissance mission all day to learn whatever probate is. I also go online and see whatever resources the county has and the state of Tennessee have that are online available. underutilized resources. There is what there is. And so you should know everything that there is to share with your clients. And then you should know what there isn't that you can fill in the holes to be of service to those. That's where I would start. And I can just tell you that having done that personally as a result of Probate Mastery, I learned things like in LA, I'm sure it's not the case in Tennessee, but just to share with you kind of what the kinds of things you learn, in LA across the street from the courthouse is the LA Law Library that's funded, I guess, by the bar or somebody. And there's resources there, and attorneys give free speeches there and meet with clients there. I also learned that there was a coffee shop on the top of the building with a beautiful view over Southern California, a great place to meet with people once you're in court. I learned there's a Starbucks on the first floor. I learned there's share sales, probably was on the second floor, share sales on the first floor on Wednesday mornings, just by walking around. And I ended up selling probably two houses a year by attending share sales, representing buyers of those properties and sellers. So I don't know the right answer, but I would say that's worthy of doing recon. You might find if it's a smaller county, it's certainly smaller than LA, they may only have probate one day a week or 2 days a week. They may only have one courtroom or two, but I would know them, where they are, when they are, who the judge is. All that's invaluable information. And then if you're there comfortable, and then while you're there, you're going to bump into theoretically petitioners and attorneys and investors and such. So I would go to court and do some serious recon. I went once and I realized there was a lot more there. Again, I'm in a larger county than you. Just to give you an idea, we have 9 courtrooms that work 5 days a week in Los Angeles County. That's a lot. But, we also have competition. So I had to learn how to find out things that other people didn't know. So I would urge you to go to the courthouse and do my recon in person. And I would do my recon online in detail.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, thanks. And then once you get past that point, start reaching out to attorneys or other people who may know attorneys, real estate closing attorneys, know probate attorneys, and do the kind of networking and things like that. But I think I would want to get that information under my belt before I started. Okay?
Will do. Thank you.
Chad, sorry to lose you here as a California resident. Good luck in Tennessee. Stay in touch.
Will do.
Okay, go Vols. I don't know about that. You're an alma mater is University of Tennessee, Knoxville. How about, what's the name of the coach? Oh, Lane Kiffin. You a big Lane Kiffin fan there, Ursel? I would imagine not. I imagine Lane Kiffin's not one of your favorite coaches. Okay. What's the one thing you can do, such by doing it, everything else will be easier and necessary to build business and trade relationships? What's the one thing you can do by doing that? Everything else would be easier or unnecessary to build attorney relationships. That's a great question from Christina. I think attorneys, if that's your goal, attorneys really respect information and knowledge and expertise. And so that's why I gave the answer I did to Chad, and I would say to anybody looking to get business from attorneys, learn as much as you can so you can ask intelligent questions and learn more. And learn what they need. So you know, I'll give you an example. I have an attorney who is taking on a good sized case with multiple. It was a real estate guy who passed, and he has a property management company, he has properties he owns. And so I'm already jumping in to find out what properties he owns, the status of his brokerage. So I know that if he's going to file a petition, he needs to, have an idea of the real estate and the value. So I'm already putting that together for him before he even asks. So if you learn what they need, then you can offer to them and be of service to them. Okay, Stephen Hughes has a comment, but doesn't know how, and a question, doesn't want to raise his hand. So let me see if I can find you, Stephen, and we'll bring you in.
Hey, just a couple things, Bill. So I guess this is kind of a whim, but I thought it was more interesting than anything. And then I had just a kind of a question or observation for you. And I was curious if you had a comment or some insight on it. So I went to a networking event that I sometimes go to for some other senior professionals. And I ended up talking to a guy who manages several mortuaries out here. He's just kind of a manager, and we got to talking about what I do and what he does. And I told him I was opening up an estate sale company because there weren't any that were actually physically open in the counties north of Salt Lake County. And it seemed to be kind of a problem that we kept running into. And he said, you know, that's really interesting. He said, well, have you ever dealt with probate before? It's like, yeah, I have. It's kind of the way I got into some of the senior transition housing. He said, you know, we sometimes deal with intestate, where we'll get someone who passed away once a year or two. And of course, they don't have anyone who survived, and we get an attorney involved. But we've had a lot of trouble dissolving the personal and the real property. And right. It actually sounds like you're someone we would want to work with. Essentially, talk to him, his attorney partner, and we're going to all have lunch together and talk about it. So I thought that was kind of neat. It was kind of interesting, just really unique. I think that's just something in this area that, again, no one else is doing, even out here. And this is a big metro market. I mean, we have 17,000 quote-unquote realtors, and then, of course, who knows how many investors, and really no one's doing this sort of thing. We just don't have people just don't have those kind of connections and resources. And but what I have found as I connect with more and more attorneys, and this is where I kind of was curious for your insight, Bill, is I've noticed there are many attorneys with elder care law and estate planning and probate. I've noticed there's a lot of attorneys, you know, they'll say personal injury law or family law, divorce, like they'll maybe name one or two or three things. And then at the very end, they, you know, list estate planning. And what I have found is a lot of those attorneys who say that, maybe they're only doing one or two of those a year.
Right.
And the same thing with probate. What I have found also is the ones who are doing a lot of estate planning or probate are like very new attorneys. They're like the junior attorney at the firm, and they just like almost are assigned that. It's like, hey, we want you to do all this stuff, or it's someone who's much older. Mm-hmm. And there's a few people where I found out, oh, they're actually really passionate about this. Like there's one guy, you know, that I really am like, oh, I can trust him because he'll go and speak at senior expos, and some of the assisted living places will trust him. Right. And that's been sort of my observation. I guess if I was going to formulate that into a question, so then you could respond to it and maybe it's beneficial for other people on the call and then future viewers of this video, is if you're going to make connections with attorneys, you know, you're going out and trying to I don't know if you want to use the word prospect, but you're trying to network with attorneys and that sort of thing. You know, how do you determine who is a worthwhile attorney within, you know, these areas of a, you know, wills and trusts, estate planning, elder care law, and probate? How do you know who is someone who's actually doing it versus just listing that item on their resume, you know, or someone who's inexperienced? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Right. No, great question. I mean, the easy answer, how do you figure it out, is if you have data, you sort the data by attorney and then you see who does how many, right? So I subscribe to actually a couple different data sources. I use Probate Money, which is, I think, exclusive in California by Paul Horn. And I use it because it has a nice report I give to customers. I like the formatting of it. And I also use Retran data, which is very inexpensive, low service level, but I get a lot of data to different counties from them. But one thing I do is periodically download all the case data into a spreadsheet, sort by attorney to see who's doing, you know, how many. Or when somebody calls me and says, you know, I have an attorney and they'll give me the name, I'll search and see how many cases the attorney has done, so I know who they are, where they are in the pecking order. So that's the easy answer, is if you have the data, to sort the data and analyze it. And I think it's important to do. I don't cold call attorneys. I don't do any marketing to any outbound marketing to any attorney or personal representative personally. I used to do outbound calls and mailing. I stopped that when COVID hit. And all my marketing, just full disclosure, is social media, and I try to get inbound. But when somebody tells me they have an attorney and I see the guy does several, guy or gal does several cases, I will, you know, treat them differently. The broader question you ask, which is more difficult to answer, is should I focus on the ones that do a lot of cases, or there's a lot that do a little, right? And I don't know the exact numbers, but something like 9% of probate cases in California, in LA County, are done by attorneys who've done one or zero in the last 12 months. And 10% are done by those who do, you know, more than that. And there's a handful, 5% or so, who do, you know, 10 or more cases a year. Now, the challenge is those that do a lot, you know, per year already have people they work with. And you're going to find, and I've interviewed, you know, a couple hundred attorneys by now, 80% of their cases come from realtors. So they can't distribute the leads to realtors, but 20% of the time without crossing somebody who gave them the lead. So they both have their own challenges of marketing, right? Dealing with people who do a lot, they're competitive, they're a high target, everybody's reaching out to them, and they only have so much business to give. And the lower ones only have a deal once in a while. And so I'm sure it varies by market area, and I wouldn't pretend to know, you know, Utah's market. I'll tell you what I do, which is I do social media, which hopefully gets everybody. Anytime I get any attorney, an excuse to talk to an attorney about probate, I at least call them, get their email, get permission, you know, talk to them about sending them something, and then get them my email list. Somehow magically the email list ends up attaching them to my Facebook or my YouTube channel as well, I find. And I put out content in that area all the time. But I don't have a special magical formula that's going to help you be more efficient. That's just what I'm doing. And I'm in LA, and I'm a little different place of business than you are. I'm a little different part of my career than you are. So I don't want to pretend to say I have the right answer. But I will say that I do content. I used to go to attorney bar association events. I am an affiliate in several attorney organizations, and I go to their, you know, events. I stay in touch with them forever. I have their email. They get my weekly email marketing. I would do a realtor oriented piece. I do probate related pieces, and I get that every week via email. And then I send a postcard out to attorneys that I've met. Everyone I've ever met goes in the database. They get a postcard about once a month. So hopefully that helps a little bit. But again, I'm not saying that's what you should do. I'm just saying that's what I've done in my market. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, no, that's great. I think the idea of getting the data and looking at the cases is very interesting. You know, that actually is there. Some of the stuff you're saying is very similar. I know we talked a little bit about the YouTube channel. We can probably talk about that next week when we are chatting some. I know one of the things I'm doing this year weekly is we have been interviewing people in the senior space, mm-hmm. professionals, and basically we do the interview, it's edited, marked up with SEO, and it's put online in various places, but also I'm leaving a review on their Google business page, if they have one, Facebook mm-hmm. business page, and it's interesting. I mean, it's just, it really gets shot up on the Google search results, and then I'm attached to it. I'm also taking the transcript from that YouTube video, and this has been kind of fun. I'm throwing it through the ChatGPT thing, turning it into a blog article, putting the link in it, and throwing that on my website. So that's been another way of doing it. So then I have another content piece. That has been actually really interesting. I do the direct mail postcards once a month. I have found that's actually been helpful for the senior professional thing. With attorneys, I don't really know. That's something I've debated. Because the reality is, with the direct mail with attorneys, it's not going to them. It's going to the office admin. If I'm going to add them, I better have a pretty good relationship with that attorney in the office admin. Otherwise, it's just going in the garbage. But those senior professionals, it's going to go to them directly. It's different, right? Just like other direct mail. But that's just my opinion. But yeah, it sounds like we have some similar philosophies there. But the data, that's actually something I want to look into. I really like that idea.
Don't overlook the admins. The truth is, they're often the ones that determine the vendors. And you know, I used to work, my father was an attorney. I used to work in an attorney as an intern. And I can tell you that you overlook the legal secretary or the admin at your own peril. They're the one, they control the schedule. They can get your phone call through. They'll tell you what's going on in the case. So you're right that in most cases these days, direct mail doesn't go to the attorney or you get sifted out. But at the same time, it goes to the admin. I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't put them in the database to get postcards, but if the admin gets it, that's fine with me. Just FYI. Same if you go to the office, always make a relationship with the admin, the secretary, receptionist. Always bring them a gift, bring them a Starbucks card, bring them donuts. Don't walk with a box of donuts in hand to the attorney. I'm letting you know that's number one. And then number two, I love what you talk about. I don't really know doing this. Tell me about the SEO in your video. What is it that you do there specifically that makes your videos more valuable? I understand posting them on the interviewee's Facebook is great. What else, what do you do with regarding SEO that makes them more rank higher in your Google?
Well, it just, you know, of course, those people have their own businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And what I found is, this is not probate, right? This is all the senior transition housing. The senior professionals here, and I think this is happening really in most markets, the way most senior professionals market is pretty old school. They don't have a ton of stuff online because they're still marketing to baby boomers. Maybe in about 20 years when it's all Gen Xers, it'll change. But there's still a lot of direct mail. There's still a lot of in-person events. It's just very old school. So no one out here has come up with doing some of this stuff online. So I'm kind of the first person to do it. So part of it's just I have no competition online. So there's almost no secret there. But these people have businesses. So really all we're doing in the description is just tagging their business if they have a website, their contact information. Of course, we put the location there, any other info, just really all in the description box, right? And then, again, posting it on Facebook, LinkedIn, if they have a Google business page, their Facebook business page, the specific city changes per video. It typically is Salt Lake City or closer to the main city I'm in, which is Ogden, which is about 45 north of Salt Lake City. I do have a video editor also who's more attuned to doing this and experienced in it. I don't want to say who, but I'll tell you later, Bill. I just don't want to say it on the call. Mm-hmm. So I did actually ask someone to help me with it. But it is pretty simple stuff. But if you pull up my channel, I mean, you can see in the description box also how it's done. So it wouldn't be like a total secret. So it's all pretty much there. And of course, the thumbnail, I think, also helps in how that's organized. And again, we ask those people to share it through their channels as well. Just like anything else, the more places you post it, the better it does. And then what I found is that these other senior businesses have done none of this stuff. They've done none of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why I started doing interviews. I just put the link up to his channel. And I'll put it in the chat box as well. Let's see here. There's a link to your YouTube. You know, I know there's some people who think it's best not to have other realtors subscribe or watch your videos for Google. Add them in. And I think the opposite. I think the more people who are interested in your content, the better. And all other realtors do is we help grow your audience. And personally, you know, I have realtors who want to join with me one way or another, or do things with me, or refer me business. So I'm not going to recruit anybody, but if people like my content and want to talk to me, I'm open to that. And I think you should be too. I watched your videos. I really liked the one you did with Mom's House. I've also interviewed Philip, and you did another one. I want to say it was a photo company or a video company.
Oh, Sky. Yeah. That's a service she offers.
Yeah. I think you really did a good job on both those. So anybody who's looking to, I happened to be on your website. I mean, your YouTube channel just last week. And I noticed I always research what other people are doing, try to, you know, get better at it and learn and see what the good tricks and tips are. And you did a really nice job. So congratulations.
I appreciate that. I'll tell you, I have a couple of interviews with Catherine Ambrose coming up. Bill, you should interview her on your channel. She's in Kansas. Mm-hmm. She actually has like a senior show on their local PBS channel. Her and Philip are friends. You know, she's like big in the senior space. I told her about, of course, like your stuff and probate mastery, because we were talking about designations and courses and such, and, you know, and like how some things are overpriced versus what you get and all things. And I said, in terms of courses and such and prices, I was like, for what you pay for probate mastery and what you get and everything, like, they haven't lied, and the coursework's good for the price you get. And it's like, I feel like it's probably the best one I took, because there's one I took recently that was $4,500 and there's false advertising in it to continue some stuff where they still want you to pay $1,000 a month moving forward, which I wasn't very, very pleased about. I won't say out loud what it was, because I had to sign like a contract. Again, something I would say off the call.
You know, was this a probate focused or senior focused, or
just it was divorce focused.
There you go. So I know exactly what you're talking about. So just for word of the wise, I promote probate mastery because I'm a student and it works. It helps me. But a couple of rules I've learned, I've been around a while. I just celebrated my 65th birthday on Sunday, and I've been around a while. I've seen a few things. A couple of things I've learned. Number one, if a company doesn't have a lot of free content, then their paid for content is not worth much. Just FYI. The companies have the best paid for content, have the best free content. That's been true of all of the internet, all of coaching, all of real estate. And that's a clue when it's all behind the paywall. They just don't have enough information. Number two, sign a non-disclosure about their business. Who the heck does that? The few times the companies I was dumb enough to walk down that path with them, I always regret it. And I tell people today, if you don't trust me to send me a property to look at, for example, don't do business with me. I don't really care. I'm pretty public. You know, if you can't figure that out by now, then you shouldn't do business with me. And likewise, if your business is so secretive, I have to sign some non-disclosure, it's not worth my time, and I don't want to risk accidentally talking about you, particularly if you do something wrong. And I think we can't ask people for referrals if we're not willing to have them discuss our shortcomings. So to me, those, you know, you're a little younger than me, Stephen. We've all made these mistakes. Those are clues that you're probably not going down the right path. And then the fees being a lot more than everybody else. It's usually a competitive market for a reason. And the companies that charge more and tell you how much more valuable they are, if you're not, you know, anxious to pay the extra, it's probably because they're not worth it. Just, again, just saying that's my experience. So, well, Stephen, thank you for sharing the details. I really appreciate your info on your web channel. Thanks for sharing all that. And we'll continue the conversation on that. And like I said, I watch your channel and I watch your videos. I think you're great. I think you do a really, really good job. And I would encourage everybody to check it out.
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay, so let me go back. I kind of fell behind here. I could talk to Stephen all day long. So Ursula says wants to build an attorney relations. One way is to join the Bar Association. I also joined the American Bar Association. And there's a trust in real estate or probate and real estate division that gets a magazine. There you go. I just got mine in the mail. I haven't read it yet, but I have it set aside to read. Some good read material. Particularly if you're outside of California, you know, other states, because other states kind of have similar laws to the other states, where California kind of has their own, but definitely worthwhile. And then also, depending on where you are, the Bar Association has social events, you know, like mixers, happy hours, and they have educational events. So for example, in LA, the probate judges do a class every, or not class, or meeting every year online with the association, where they'll go through changes and procedures or the updated status of the probate court. And you hear about the new judge coming in, the old judge going out, how they want things done. I take copious notes and send that to all the attorneys I work with to show my commitment to the business. Also, in LA County, they have like a chat service where the attorneys ask each other's questions and do referrals. Very valuable. So, and there's multiple associations in a place like where I live in LA. There's the LA Bar, there's the Century City Bar, Beverly Hills Bar, then there's the State Bar and the National. So they all have their different meetings and flow, so worth looking into for sure. So thank you, Russell, for bringing that up. And yes, Tristina, you can join. If you're not, I'm not an attorney. I join as an affiliate, just like many realtor organizations have affiliate memberships. I join as an affiliate. I'm not an attorney. Maybe it's a lower fee or higher fee. I don't even remember, but you can definitely join as not. And I know there's some that don't allow you to. Obviously, the smaller ones, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's kind of silly to me to not. Okay. And participant committees, that's interesting. You know, I'm in a very competitive market. So in my associations, there are already probably three realtors at every event and every online event and sponsor event. So I don't want to be, my marketing is I never want to be seen as one of them. Even though the ones who sponsor tend to be really good and do from out of business, I still don't want to be seen as a realtor. I want to be seen as an expert in probate. So that's my thing. Just to ask what city you work in, I'll put your answers in there. I'm in Los Angeles, Beverly Hills area. Here's a question. I'd love to answer this one, Ernie, if you want to come in and talk about it. But I don't think you're like my answer. I'm not selling content, and I'm going to sell you on sharing your knowledge with your clients. I think in leadership and as a salesperson, we want to lead our customers. Customers come to us looking for leadership to solve their problems. I think communication is one of the most critical activities of any leader. And so I know that a lot of companies that sell pre-made content to us as realtors, and we as realtors gobble that up. And I guess it's better than nothing, but I would really challenge you, and I actually do a class on this. I'm not saying this to promote my class, but I mean, I've gone so far as I was so frustrated with my own team. I made the class to charge money so I can give it to my team members for free so they show up. Because I think this is the most important activity the realtors miss. I believe every real estate agent should have at least a once a week real estate related email to all of their database, and they should repost that on all their social media channels. And that could be Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, and should also be in video as well as written format. I think it's the most important thing in staying in touch. I think which realtors will buy pre-canned content. I don't think that's as effective because the customer's falling in love with your voice. If the voice of somebody else's, it's kind of like Cyrano de Bergerac, where they fall in love with the guy behind the tree and they realize he's not the right person or the bush. You don't want them to fall in love with your great content to find out you're just you. You want them to fall in love with your content. And your content's good enough if you are authentic and take it professionally and seriously. I can do a whole hour. I've done literally a whole hour program on this. And it's on my YouTube channel. But what I'd say is that everybody should start somewhere and work at getting it better and get better and better and better. I started writing two or three sentences about an article I found interesting every week. And I started writing more and more and more. And today that looks like I usually get about 8 different articles and I write a couple paragraphs on each. And then I video that and I send it out email and I put it on YouTube. And that really drives my business. And I think that that replaces the funnels. I think there's a lot of people who sell realtors. Oh, here's a funnel. And if the person looks left, you go there and right there. But people get lost. I think it's more important that you reach out to everybody at least every single week. So that's why I said, do I know of a good content resource? The answer is, I don't think there is a good content resource. There's content resources like Keeping Current Matters. And I think that really good content, but I would be careful not to send that out to my customers because I want to be in my voice. Hope that helps.
Thank you.
Okay. And yeah, Ursa points out you get the property and probate property monthly magazine, which is a great resource. Ursa, I love that magazine. They had a 3-part series on celebrities in probate. You know, they go into detail in different cases and how they need to plan ahead properly, what a mess it created. Yeah, it's really good stuff. Okay, other questions? I don't see any hands up. Any other questions I haven't got to yet or I missed before? If you have one, feel free to Oh, so, okay, so my one of my favorite questions is, my YouTube. So I'm going to put my YouTube. I'll give you guys a free lesson on building a YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is at Bill Gross Probate. But if you notice in the chat box, I put the link. It's youtube.com/@BillGrossProbate?_confirmation=1. If you add to the end of your channel, the question mark sub underscore confirmation equals one, when people click on your link, they go to your channel, but they get popped up a question, do you want to subscribe, yes or no? So that's a pretty easy little link, and presuming people who visit your channel would prefer to subscribe, now you've made it easy for them. They could put no, whatever, I don't really care. But I don't want people to subscribe who don't want to subscribe. I want people
hey, it's
to
Bill Gross, the LA.
There you go, on my own. I hit my own button. Okay, so there you go. That's my YouTube channel, is at Bill Gross Probate. But if you look at the channel, there's a free link on how to make it easier. So if your YouTube channel is youtube.com/@Stephen Hughes, you would add question mark sub underscore confirmation equals one. And that link becomes the auto link to promote them to subscribe. So it's a free little trick. You are welcome, Maharis. Okay, other questions, comments? We still have about 10 minutes left. You guys want to take advantage of it? I can take off 10 minutes early. Questions, comments? I need all my energy today because I'm watching my grandson at 3 o'clock. So I need to rest up a little bit for that. I have a 2-year-old who's, I don't know anybody here on lines in their 60s with a 2-year-old grandchild, but man, that's a workout. Anybody else? Questions? Comments? No? Who's got a victory you want to share? Here it is in January. Who's got listings already? Who's put something in the contract? I'm like this close to 2 listings. I have one out for eSign, one out for eSign and a hard copy being delivered today. I have a contract we're negotiating the final points on, hopefully get that in escrow. So I got 1 listing for the month. My goal is to get a contract every week, like that close to 3. So hopefully I'll get at least 1 this week. But business up and running. Matt asks, what type of script do I suggest using for starting with probate phone calls? So Matt, I presume you're asking me about cold calling from probate filing data, right? And I know that Bruce, who's the proprietor of Probate Mastery, is a really an expert in cold call scripting. And I would take a look at his offering. If you're a member taking the program, I would jump in on him, and that's really a great question for him. I currently do not cold call anybody. I don't cold call petitioners, I don't cold call attorneys. I guess I would say one of the benefits of building a large audience is that more people call me and keep me busy enough every day that I don't have time like I used to. I started my real estate business. It's funny, I interviewed yesterday a mortgage lender who I worked with in 2009. And he remembers me as being the cold call example for him for his career. And I did do it for a lot of years. But I think the purpose of the cold calling is to build your business to where you can cold call less and deal with incoming referrals more. That's how the business should grow over time. But I do cold call in the sense people, I go on people's YouTubes and see somebody I want to meet, and I'll call the person and invite them to interview on my YouTube channel. It's probably the closest thing I do to cold calling today. So again, I would recommend you talk to Bruce, take a look at Probate Mastery's offerings. And he does I don't know if Lou's still on the call or not, but I think he does like a call on Wednesday or Thursday that's just for members and you know, students who are paid, and offers a cold calling there. In Probate Mastery Interactive, Bruce goes into things to say attorneys on the building powerful attorney relationships, 2-part video. There you go. And Bruce is very, very good on cold calling. And another source for scripts on alltheleads.com. They have a website there. If you search for scripts, they have some videos of the scripts being used, and they have links to the PDFs of the scripts. And All the Leads, that coach is the founder of Probate Mastery, Chad Corbett. So you'll probably get some of the same material there. Oh, there's a hand up, Lori Neville.
Lori, hey, Bill. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I don't know if you remember me. This is my first time on your call. I'm with Home Advocates, Lee Onish. You were on our call a month or two ago after Lee passed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think I've gotten a couple invitations to your call, and today I took it up. I wanted to see what you guys were doing. I have done probate in the past, and I have a question regarding marketing to attorneys. I have a letter that you send up to attorneys and basically saying that we can, well, the question I have is that we can give a referral to them for referring their clients to us. And I'm not sure how, if that's right or not. And I wanted to check that out before I actually send a letter out. I mean, we can give referrals if it's on the closing disclosure, correct?
So you're saying you can offer referral fees to attorneys in exchange right. for them?
Because I know that could be also be a RESPA violation. So, yeah. And I've had this letter for probably 2 or 3 years, and I got it from a coach that I don't see around anymore. So I just wanted to make sure it's actually legitimate before I send it out.
You know, I don't use it. So I can't speak from personal experience. I believe that attorneys are allowed to receive referral fee. Keep in mind that referral fees have to be sent to a broker. And so they'd have to be licensed and have a broker they hold the license with, or be a broker themselves and get the fee that way, have it disclosed. And then whether it's okay for the attorney or not, they have some professional ethics issues in that is the referral in exchange for work they've done. So if you're an attorney and they're going to say, oh, I reviewed the contracts because most realtors don't know what they're doing, or, you know, I wrote up certain addendums or things like that, then I think that's what's in mind for them to receive referrals. I think that if the referral is just merely send us a lead and we'll pay you money as a kickback, I think the ethics would say that's probably not acceptable. But attorneys are able to, you know, do a wide range of things. And so they would probably properly document their work in exchange for that. So, or they might lower the legal fees. Yeah, that's another option. I've done that where I lowered my realtor fees because I was getting paid as a fiduciary and vice versa. So, and also it's going to vary by state. You're in California, correct?
No, I'm in Nevada, but okay. I did get this letter when I was in, I'm a Florida broker, and I originally got this letter in Florida, and I was advised not to send it out, but it seems like if it's on the closing disclosure and it's disclosed mm-hmm. and we're being paid through escrow, I don't see how it would be an issue. So I wanted to revisit that again.
Yeah, well, you have two questions. One is, can you pay it as a realtor? And the second is, can the attorney receive it? And the attorney has to make that decision. I know
attorneys. If they can pay us, because the letter says, send me your clients and we'll give you 10%, or we'll give you a referral fee. And I think it even had a percentage on it. So I might even need to just reword it before I send it out.
Can the attorney pay you a referral fee for the legal fee?
Right.
Yeah, I think the answer to that is clearly no.
No. Okay. What was that?
I know that you can't get a referral fee for legal fees unless you're an attorney. I know that's specific. Now, here's the thing about laws. Laws are written by attorneys for attorneys. So, you know, if you wonder why is the one industry this, you know, this growing like, you know, rats on a ship, it's because attorneys wrote the laws for attorneys. And very hard to discipline, very hard to limit what they do. And they also keep the competition limited. So no, you can't receive a referral fee for legal services or for referral of legal services. You can charge marketing fees, but it can't be for cases. It has to be for the service render you get paid and not for a referral of the Jones case. That I know in California specifically, I presume most states, is specifically prohibited. The truth is, if I'm referring something to attorneys, I can get business back from them. I can get referrals back from them. I can get introductions back from them. I can get them my video content. So there's a lot of things I can get besides the attorney fees. But I'd be very careful. I'm sure it varies by state, but I'd be very careful about getting any fees from an attorney for referral. I think that would be prohibited.
So how do you market to attorneys? For them to give their clients to you to sell their house.
So what I would say is my goal is to be so valuable that attorneys realize that if they don't refer them to me, they're going to have a lot more work, a lot more expense, and their jobs are going to be more miserable than otherwise would be. I'm going to help them get a better outcome for their client and a better outcome for themselves. What's that look like? In essence, I'm like a free paralegal. I review the case, I review the filings, I catch mistakes the paralegal makes. I work with the paralegal. I'll work with the attorney to correct the paralegal. I will, contact the attorney and act like an attorney to the extent I'm allowed to in terms of negotiations and things like that. So I think the answer is a lot of things I do. But the thing, the one thing I try to do is be so indispensable that they need to use me because not using me is more painful. And so that could be a lot of different things. You know, I have a very good attorney, and he asked me for some data, and I know enough to go back and research and find out, okay, that case is filed. The next hearing is in March. He filed these documents. I'll check the probate notes the week before the hearing. I'll check after the hearing. Like, even his paralegal is not that organized on his cases as I am. But it can vary based on who you are, what value you bring to your clients. Maybe it's you market them on your YouTube channel. I do that as well. Maybe it's you bring them to events where they're going to meet other attorneys or people going to refer them business. But the core in any relationship is, what can I do to be valuable to you so that you want to do business with me?
Okay. Thank you.
Lori, thank you so much. Nice seeing you again.
You too.
Bill, maybe I misunderstood Lori's question. Mm-hmm. I was thinking she was asking as a real estate broker, could she accept a referral fee from the attorney who refers her a client to maybe sell their property? And not,
no, the other way around. She was asking, if I refer a probate case to an attorney, can I get a referral fee from the attorney for the legal fees?
Really? Okay, because I was thinking, if you're not an attorney, you can't practice as a real estate broker law.
If you're not a real estate attorney, you can't practice law. So what I would say, I hear that verbiage from different brokers a lot, but I would say that there's a subset of the law that we are allowed to practice in. You know, I'm a real estate broker. I operate as an associate. You know, I am allowed to write contracts for my client. You're allowed to read contracts, explain what they mean. You could say that's practicing law in the narrow world of my forms and documents and contracts. That, okay, maybe that is practicing law in real estate, but I'm a real estate agent. I'm licensed to do that. I can't do that in non-real estate things, but I can do that within real estate things. So I don't practice law. I practice real estate, but real estate license gives me certain rights that somebody who's not licensed can't do. Okay. And Tristina says contact attorney specialized in RESPA. I don't know about that. I would certainly, again, the problem is not you collecting the fee. I think the problem is the attorney paying you the fee, knowing you're not an attorney. You know, we as real estate agents, we can't just write a check to somebody. We have to write the check to a broker. And anybody can receive a referral fee has to be a broker. And so I think the same with attorneys. An attorney to write a check to somebody, I do believe they're obligated to find out that that's an attorney they're sending the fee to. And if not, then that's also on them. Okay, look, we're at the top of the hour, so I think we'll wrap up here. Thanks to everybody who participated. Thank you, Ursel, for all the participation. And Ernie as well, and Laurie, and Matt, and everybody else who asked questions today. We do that, and thanks to Lou, I don't know if you're still on the call, but a new addition to the admin team to help you guys get better service, us get better service from Probate Mastery. This is the Probate Mastery Realtor Coaching Call. We do it every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, every time in between on either side. Continue the conversation on Facebook. Estate Professional Mastermind is the Facebook group. I'm Bill Gross. I'm at Bill Gross Probate. I also host on Thursdays Probate Weekly. You'll get an email reminder for that. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.